Welcome to Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. You can follow me on Twitter at LewyLewis5. That's LewyLewis and the number 5 on Twitter. Thanks for coming back and following me. Just be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. I appreciate all of it. On today's show, we'll be covering all the news and notes from around the league, but also recapping divisional round. Also, I am playing Make Pretend GM on the AFC North teams. So without further ado, let's get fantasy.
First off, I want to cover the breaking news. Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator for the Detroit Lions, has now agreed to terms with the Chicago Bears to be their head coach. I've said it before in series of these that the Bears need an offensive-sided mind coach, and this is great news for Caleb Williams. Next year, I could see him possibly being a top 12 quarterback next year just because of the skill set he has, and you merge that to Ben Johnson's offense. It's going to be a great fit, great scheme. I mean, hell, he took Jared Goff, that was a throw-in pick for Matthew Stafford a couple years ago, and now he is the franchise quarterback there, and he turned him around. Hopefully this is what happens with Caleb Williams. That whole offense gets a huge boost. So he is familiar, I do believe, with DeAndre Swift. So look for maybe Roschon Johnson playing the David Montgomery role, perhaps. And Swift is the Jahmyr Gibbs. For wide receiver, I see DJ Moore easily being the Amon-Ra St. Brown position. He's reliable. He catches everything over the middle. Caleb Williams just has to be accurate, unfortunately. And then the Jameson Williams, I don't see Roman Dunze taking the top off the defense, but he is a great possession receiver. And who knows if they sign Key or Allen next year or not. Also, you have Cole Kmet. But this is great news for the Chicago Bears. I look forward to seeing. You can listen to my podcast at Fantasy End Zone. I'm a huge believer in Caleb Williams. I mean, I still have to eat crayons because I said he's going to get over 4,000 passing yards and also have over 30 total touchdowns. Unfortunately, that fell short. And let's cover the divisional round games. First game was Houston taking on the defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs won this one 23-14 against the Texans. CJ Stroud, mediocre day, 245 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. That's good. He took care of the ball. He had 42 yards rushing as well. On the rushing side, also with Joe Mixon having 88 yards and a touchdown. Nico Collins, he's got to be a wide receiver one next year, probably second round draft pick in redrafts. 5 catches, 81 yards. Dalton Schultz had 4 catches, 63 yards. On the other side, Patrick Mahomes, 177 yards. 1 touchdown, just a blah day is, back in the office for him. Kareem Hunt had 8 rushes for 44 yards and a touchdown. Isaiah Pacheco had 5 carries for 18. I don't know if he's still lingering that leg injury or what is going on officially for him, but it appears that they are doing a 2-head split there. Travis Kelce, playoff Kelce. That's what I'm going to call him now. On playoff Kelce, 7 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Xavier Worthy also had 5 catches, 45 yards. And then you had Noah Gray that scored or caught 3, and Kareem Hunt caught 1. Everyone else did not have a single catch. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, what happened to him? Only 1 target. Juju Smith-Schuster, 1 target. Hollywood Brown, 2 targets, but no one had catches. I just feel they're going to need those guys to participate and be part of the offense to go anywhere else. Also on Saturday, the Washington Commanders defeat the number 1 seed, 45-31, Detroit Lions. And rookie sensation Jaden Daniels continues, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns, also adding 51 yards on the ground. Brian Robinson Jr. also had 77 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Eckler coming back from his concussion last week, he didn't do much, but I think it's kind of get him up to speed, game speed. You can't ever practice that. He had 47 yards as well. And Dynami Brown, where the hell did he come from? He literally had nothing, no juice all season, and now here he is in the playoffs. Last week he had 89 yards receiving. This week, 6 catches, 98 yards. Terry McLaurin, 4 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. Also, Austin Eckler added 4 catches, 41 yards. Zach Ertz, 5 catches, 28 yards, and a go-ahead score. For the other side, Jared Goff, he struggled in this one. I don't know if the pressure got to him, but he's 23 of 40, and that's not him. He's normally pretty accurate, completing 70%, 60%, 70%. This week is just barely over 50%. He still had 313 yards, 1 touchdown, but he had 3 interceptions with a fumble loss. So he had 4 total turnovers in this game, and that's really what costs the Lions. Anytime they're moving the ball, I think he had 2 interceptions in the end zone, just killed the drives. Jahmyr Gibbs, 105 yards on the ground with 2 touchdowns. Remarkable. He's just a fantasy god. And if he was just the only guy there, he'd be a number 101 every year draft choice in redraft leagues. Jameson Williams, he also had 1 rush, 61-yard touchdown. David Montgomery, a surprise he came back, 7 carries for 28 yards. In the receiving game, Amara St. Brown's, 8 catches, 137 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs also added 6 catches, 70 yards. Give this man a trophy for just being a top guy that could easily take off any defense and put up 20-plus fantasy points every week. Sam Laporta, 6 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown as well. It's just unfortunate for the Lions that they lost, and now they lose their offense coordinator, which Dan Campbell, you know, he mentioned multiple times that he's going to lose him. He's going to probably lose the defense coordinator, Aaron Glenn, in head coach free agency. He's just going to have to look for who's that next guy that he wants to pair up with. I'm guessing they're going to promote somebody within, unless if Ben Johnson takes him with them to Chicago, but it's hard to say. But Washington Commanders, congratulations. You're on to the NFC Championship. Hey, Jane Daniels, you made it before Dak Prescott in 1 year. Congratulations. Sorry, Cowboy fans. And the other game for the NFC to play against Washington Commanders is their division rival. Philadelphia Eagles win 28-22 against Los Angeles Rams. The Rams had everything working for them. They were so close, but it just couldn't make it happen right when it needed to be counted. Matthew Stafford, 324 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Kyron, 106 yards on the ground but he also put a fumble on the ground along with Matthew Stafford. Puka Nacua is still, he's a same thing. He's probably going to be a late first round draft pick in my eyes in redraft leagues. 6 catches, 97 yards. Great day. DeMarcus Robinson, 3 catches, 74 yards. And Cooper Kupp, 5 catches, 61 yards. Blah day. You know, it just sucks because what happened with him and Matthew Stafford? Was it like 6 weeks ago you stopped having breakfast together? Because these numbers suck. And hopefully they get back to lunch, breakfast, dinner, whatever it is this offseason, and help this offense next year be better. Jalen Hurts, 15 of 20, 128 yards. But you don't have to do much when you have Saquon Barkley running 205 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he also added 44-yard touchdown, but ended up with 70 yards rushing himself. Dallas Goedert, 4 catches, 56 yards. Saquon Barkley, 4 catches, 27 yards. Devontae Smith, 4 catches, 21 yards. A.J. Brown, 2 catches, 14 yards. He was probably busy reading a book on the sideline or whatever the case may be for him. He's just been non-relevant in the playoffs so far, but maybe next game that's what they do, is just throw him the ball since he's not beat up and dominate the Commanders. Next, the final game is the best game of the weekend, in my opinion. The Buffalo Bills survive late scare 27-25 against the Baltimore Ravens. And Lamar Jackson, again, protect that ball, and I think you win this game. I mean, that's just really what it comes down to. It's like the big moments, he does something crappy, and unfortunately, I think that's what happened in this game. He had 254 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, but on the ground, he only had 39 yards rushing too. I figured he would have had a lot more, but he fumbled a ball as well, and that just really cost him. Derrick Henry, 84 yards and a touchdown. He's only had 21 yards in the first half, but got the rhythm going in the second half. Also, Justice Hill, 6 carries, 50 yards rushing. So you look at those guys, and you should have been doing more groundwork all throughout the game. I mean, it's hard task when you're missing your best receiver in Zay Flowers. He missed the second game of the postseason. Now they're out, unfortunately. Isaiah Likely led the team with 4 catches, 73 yards, 1 touchdown. Rashad Bateman, 4 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. Mark Andrews, oh my God. I feel bad for you. I just feel bad for you. I mean, you had 5 catches, 61 yards, but if you're watching the game, you know what I'm talking about. He, in the fourth quarter, he had a nice catch up, wide open, making moves, and the ball gets punched out of his hands for a fumble. Bills recovered, ended up scoring a touchdown, I believe. Yeah, touchdown. It's just unfortunate. And then they score quickly with like a minute 30 left. Go for 2, wide open, and he trips and drops a ball. It was just in his midsection, and he dropped the ball, unfortunately. He dropped the bag. I mean, just that alone, he's probably getting a lot of hate for sure. Definitely hate mail. I feel bad for you, Mark Andrews. Yes. Josh Allen on the other side, 16 for 22 with 127 yards. I mean, they didn't do much of anything. I mean, he was efficient enough that they won the game. James Cook, 67 yards rushing. You know, Josh Allen had 20 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. It's just more of the rushing game. Khalil Shakir, 6 catches, 67 yards. James Cook, 3 catches, 15 yards. You really didn't have anything. You know, Keon Coleman, 1 catch, 5 yards. Amari Cooper, I think he's just going to be gone by the end of this. I mean, after this season, he's a free agent anyways. I just don't see him producing because they're not using them. So why keep them? And that is the divisional round wrap up. But so going for the AFC championship, which is played at 6:30 Eastern time, I think on Sunday, the Bills at Kansas City Chiefs. Everyone's complaining about the refereeing for the Chiefs. I mean, that's just a, don't put yourself in that position, Joe Mixon, in the first place. Unfortunate, yes, but don't put yourself in that position. And also, don't leave it in the hands of the refs. You know, it's unfortunate. I want the Bills to win. I think the Bills will win. I think the Superman comes out in Josh Allen. He just rushes the ball, passes the crap out of the ball. It ain't going to be 127 yards again. So I'm marking that number probably 260 in this game. I think that's what it's going to have to be for him to win. If the Bills were in the Texans' position, having over 100 yards more offense than the Chiefs, never turned the ball over, and they still lost. It was 49-0 before that. Unfortunately, now it's 49-1. Sorry, you're the one, Texans. Now, Commanders at Eagle or Philadelphia. I'm taking Eagles. I want the Commanders just because I love the Cinderella story and Jaden Daniels, number two overall pick. What do? You get a new head coach in Dan Quinn, and you build around your franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Amazing story. Get him some help in the offseason. But for right now, I'm taking Eagles. I just think they're a better, well-rounded team. But I would not sleep on the Commanders. And before we get into breaking down the AFC North teams, me being the GM, let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Oh, I see all this mock draft information out there. Oh, this mock, that mock. Hey, what about a real actual fantasy game? The Flex 4 game on Fast Draft, draftfaster.com, is open. You draft 6 running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. The top 4 enter your lineup every week. It's that easy. It's that simple. Drafts take 5 minutes. There's a $50,000 prize pool. It's $15,000 to first. It's just a $5 entry. And the best part? No rake. No rake whatsoever on Fast Draft, the first 2025 best ball contest to open in the world, is ready for you to draft up to 150 teams. DraftFaster.com, DraftFaster.com. Start playing best ball for real.
I just have to grab this beautiful thing. It's, you know, see what it says? League champion. Mwah. Follow us here at Player Profiler. Don't be like the Minnesota Vikings, the Houston Texans. You want to see a championship trophy in your fantasy showcase and be like myself? Follow us here at Player Profiler. You get all the latest news, up to date, beat, surrounded by fantasy knowledge as well. Another great way you could do is, you know, get the all-in package from us. It's Dynasty Deluxe, DFS, Dominator, world-class, world-famous draft kit, data analysis, and player rankings. Be sure to go ahead and get that, follow it. Another way you could do it for free is follow us here on YouTube. You're already doing half of it. Just give us a like, give us a comment, follow us, get the notification. Also, another way is to follow myself on my podcast at Fantasy End Zone. I come up with a new episode every Tuesday during the offseason, keeping you up to date with news notes from around the league, as well as during the season. I'll be on Tuesday and Fridays. Tuesday is recapping everything, giving you my waiver wires. Friday is giving you my starts of the week, making you in, you know, keeping you in the know and making you fantasy champion. Now breaking down the AFC North teams, you got the Cleveland Browns that, God, they sucked this year. Cincinnati Bengals, unfortunately, they didn't make the playoffs with a huge push. You had the Pittsburgh Steelers that didn't make the playoffs but looked terrible in it. and the Baltimore Ravens that fell short last night in the divisional round. We'll start with the Cleveland Browns, though. And again, though, I'm going to tell you this is an 8-part segment on each division for the next 8 weeks. This week, plus 7 more, I'll go team by team in the division, breaking down their team needs, salary cap situation, and what I would do if I was their team GM. So without further ado, let's play GM. The Cleveland Browns, they finished the season as 3-14 on the season, earning them the number 2 overall pick in this year's draft. The Browns struggled in pretty much every category for their team, such as finishing last for points per game. They also finished last in third down efficiency. They also ranked towards the bottom of the league in yards per game with 300.8. They also struggled on the ground, only getting 94 yards per game and throwing for 206. Not something you want to see. For the Browns' key skilled players, I'm not going to cover linemen and defensive players. I'm only going to specifically do the skilled positions of who they're losing, who had target, just because otherwise this would be a long series and this is a fantasy show and I want to keep you guys up to date. At quarterback, we have famous Jameis Winston, who was, in my opinion, good for us for fantasy in spot starts while Deshaun Watson wanted to rupture his Achilles. But he turned the ball over quite often and led him to the bench. Also, Bailey Zappe is a free agent too, who started week 18 and is now going to become a unrestricted free agent. Running backs. Browns have 3 set to become unrestricted free agents. Nyheim Hines, you probably haven't heard that name in years, since probably his days in Buffalo or Indianapolis Colts, I believe. Yeah, Colts. He was on the Colts as well. Devontae Foreman and longtime Browns starter Nick Chubb. At wide receiver, they only have Elijah Moore set to become a unrestricted free agent. At tight end, the backup tight end, Jordan Akins, who had productive games toward the end of the season while starting tight end David Njoku was injured. That's all the skilled positions set to become unrestricted free agents or free agents. Which players would I bring back? I think I would have to say Jameis Winston back for a year, much like the deal he had last year, 1 year, $4 million. It gives you a competent backup starter because, I'm sorry, DTR is a terrible quarterback in that league, and I am not starting him with the games on the line. He is terrible, and we've seen he turns the ball over way more than Winston, in my opinion. Winston actually showed you he could be an offensive, producer, passing for 3-4, almost 500 yards or whatever that one game was, 475. But DTR is terrible. They should also bring back, in my opinion, Elijah Moore. 2 years up to $10 million is probably the contract I see, having incentives built in to make it up to $10 million. So the base would probably be like $4 million roughly. But at the end of the season, he was a serviceable, and he was Brown's number 2 option at wideout with all the injuries with Cedric Tillman. Who knows what he's going to be with his concussions. It's just hard to say. I mean, he was basically out for 6 games. Also, I'm bringing back Jordan Akins, another serviceable player, especially late in the season. He was really good. I think he's 32 right now. I'm bringing him back, 2-year deal worth $5 million, up to $5 million as well. You'll have some incentives. I mean, this last year, I think he only made $1.4 million.
So it's a win-win for both of them. Finally, Nick Chubb for 1 year deal. I'm bringing him back. It's just unfortunate. The last two seasons he got injured, costing him the rest of the season. He is getting older, and older running backs at 29, that's shelf life right there. But I could see him being, you know, maybe signing a 1 year deal up to $5 million with incentives, just because I don't see him getting a huge deal on the open market with his injury history and how old he is. I just don't see it. But I'd also let Bailey Zappe walk. If anything, you could sign him to your practice squad. I mean, he was out there for pretty much all of the season until you signed him to be the backup and eventually start him in week 18. Naeem Hines by Devontae Foreman. I'm letting him walk as well. I mean, like I said, Foreman, I think they pick him up late in, or no, they had him at the beginning of the season, but he just didn't do much unless if, you know, Ford, Chubb, or Strong was injured. I don't see them spending money on him. So for me, I see they're going into the season with Jerome Ford, Nick Chubb, and Pierre Strong on the team. Their salary cap situation, though, is Browns are currently $30 million over the cap. So they'll have some serious work to do in extending, moving people around, money around, you know, having people sign extension or not extensions to move the money longer term down the road, or turning a lot of their base pay into or bonuses, which I think that'd be better for the players anyways, because they're getting it guaranteed then. It's just a struggle for them, especially with Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed, but they also may recoup some of that money with insurance policy before he actually re-ruptured his Achilles. I don't think he's playing at all next season with a re-ruptured Achilles, but they might get some of that money because I believe they took out an insurance policy on his $46 million contract he's due this year. And with that, it should, you know, give him a kickback, if not all of it. So that might push him $16 million in cap space. But also there is images posted of him just days before he re-ruptured the Achilles, of him on a yacht without a boot, without any protection. So depending on how the contract wording is, it may be voided, the whole contract, if like a doctor requires you to wear a boot and you just say, screw you, I'm going to do what I want. Then you get caught and now you have re-rupture of Achilles. They could possibly get out of the contract. And if that is good for the Browns, because that's what you want, that's what you need. And Watson sucks. He's just done. He's got other issues off the field that he dealt with. Yes. But Achilles, I don't see him coming back to his prior form one single bit. And we've seen it multiple years. He sucks. That would be great to get out of the contract, but for now they are currently $30 million over the cap. So they got to work their magic. Free agents to target will be hard just because of the salary cap. And Cleveland is not a high destination for free agents to go, especially since they have to overpay players to get there. And they can't even, you know, get the money to pay those guys, and they can't really build. So, I mean, the only way they will be building is through the draft. They currently have 9 draft picks this year, and one of them being the number 2 overall. Their team needs, though, are quarterbacks, left tackle, running back, wide receiver, defensive tackle. Now, in the draft, how I have it, them having the number 2 overall, it would most likely be wise for them to trade back and gain more draft capital or players and to fill more positional needs rather than one specific. But for now, I'm not doing any trades in this. I'm just making them still stick there. But with this pick, I think a lot of people are going to say go quarterback. For me, I'm not doing a quarterback in the first round with Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward basically being the number one and number two quarterback on the board. I am actually going to, I think Titans are number one, obviously. So I feel like they're going to draft Travis Hunter. And at number two, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I am drafting Mason Graham, the defense tackle out of Michigan. This will help the defense ultimately. Myles Garrett, he's going to get, instead of him getting double team every single play, now you got somebody else to pair up with him in the inside, and it's going to get you that core in the middle with him and Mike Hall that got injured this year. It's going to build a young core at the center of your defense, but also adding Myles Garrett, hopefully getting more one-on-one deals. It's going to dominate the run game. You're not going to allow as much. Mason Graham is probably the best run stuffer in the whole draft class. I am drafting him to be the center of my defense. Because in the second round, I see them, you know, they have to get a quarterback because, yes, they hell, I have Jameis Winston, like how I predicted. But I think Jalen Milroe out of Alabama, the Browns just promoted pass game specialist and tight ends coach Tom Reese to their offense coordinator after firing Ken Dorsey. In 2023, Reese was Alabama's quarterback and offensive coordinator. Who was the quarterback? Who was the quarterback for Alabama? Jalen Milroe. It only makes sense. You know, he's got that connection with him. And since Reese knows and acknowledges Milroe, and he's got coach, you know, he's experienced coaching a dual threat quarterback, I don't see Watson with this team forever again, but that's who I would be taking. It's a huge gamble. Yes, he's just built like a tank, but there's some upside. And if anything, they might even just trade in the back half of the first round just to get that fifth year option if he, you know, dominates. To me, he looks like a Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson. He's not as scrawny as Lamar, but he's pretty built like Jalen Hurts. So if you could get some kind of quarterback like that, and he could run, he could take the top off the defense, that might be something to look forward to. And this way you could spend that second overall pick on a big time defensive player, run stopper. I mean, essentially, if Travis Hunter was there, I'd take Travis Hunter, but I have him projected to go number one overall. I mean, you can find my draft predictions. It was really too early, but we're going to still follow them on my other show. So check that out. And another position for the Browns, I see them getting offensive line help, some defensive positions, linebackers, or more on the defensive line. But I also think I see them adding a running back just because this team is getting older with, you know, Nick Chubb being 29. I have him signed for 1 year. Jerome Ford, he looked good as a complimentary back, but I don't think he was a great one running back overall. So I have them predicting to draft Tennessee running back Dylan Sampson. He's a big physical running back, knows how to catch the ball as well. But I feel like having that core in your backfield is key, and I think that's where it goes, especially with Nick Chubb's injury history. Jerome Ford's just recovering from an injury. Taking Sampson in like the fourth round would help boost this team. So the 2025 outlook, in my opinion, as the GM, quarterbacks, I have Jameis Winston and Jalen Milroe Deshaun Watson sitting there nursing his Achilles, not even being on the team, but also start Jameis Winston for a couple games, get Milroe up to date or up to speed with game knowledge, you know, see how fast the NFL is compared to college. It's going to be a dud season regardless for the Browns. I don't see them making big noises, but let them learn behind Jameis Winston and figure out the NFL. Running backs, like I already mentioned, Nick Chubb, Jerome Ford, and Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. I just think give Nick Chubb one more year. He's a fan favorite. Loves this. Everyone loves him. I mean, he might get a hometown discount too, up to $4 million. And to me, that's worth it. And Jerome Ford, I think, is going to be your unrestricted free agent the following year. So you might have Dylan Sampson as your starter in 2026. At wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, he came on strong, especially late. Get him paired up with Jameis Winston again, and he's going to be a huge ADP riser. Elijah Moore, I have him penciled in, re-signing. Cedric Tillman, hopefully all of his concussion symptoms are gone by then, and he plays well. David Bell and Jamari Thrash. At tight end, I got David Njoku and Jordan Akins. Chat, how do you think I did on my GM skills for the Browns? Let me know. What would you do with the number two pick overall? Let me know. Moving on, though, Cincinnati Bengals is next. They miss the playoffs after railing late in the season, just fell too short, and ultimately losing out on the last playoff spot to the Denver Broncos. They finished 9-8 on the season. Their offense was one of the top in the league, leading the league in passing yards per game, 6th in points per game, 5th in third down efficiency. You might ask, those are great numbers, but the defense side of the ball gave up way too much. 25th worse in points per game. They only had 36 sacks, which ranked 24th out of 32. And Trey Henderson had 17.5, leading the league in sacks. Like, it's just, that sucks. But what are you going to do? Key free agents at quarterback. Obviously, they're not losing Joe Burrow, but they don't have, you know, anyone else hitting free agency. Running back, Trayvon Williams and Chris Evans are set to do it, as well as Khalil Herbert, which they acquired during the season again, or from the Bears during the season. Remember when Trayvon Williams and Chris Evans were set to be like the number one guys last year? Everyone's scrambling in Dynasty to pick them up, spending all that fab. And the whole time it was Chase Brown that was on the team already. Interesting. But I don't see those guys being on the team. Wide receiver, T. Higgins. You can't franchise tag him. He'll be way too much. When he's healthy, he's a top 15 receiver easily. But that's the biggest thing. When he is healthy, that's the question. He always has soft tissue injuries, hamstring once a year, missing 2 to 4 games a year. It sucks. At tight end, Mike Gesicki and Tanner Hudson. Gesicki had a few games and a few big games, but he was only playing 60% of the snaps. To me, I don't like that. I mean, it's good for real football, but for us fantasy, it sucks for us. We can't rely on that. Hudson is more of a blocking tight end as well, so he's probably going to be back. Of course, though, who am I bringing back is the question I'm going to ask myself. And the easy answer would be T. Higgins, but it's just unrealistic in my head. Like, yes, They have $46 million in open space. T. Higgins is probably going to command $30-plus million in the open market, if I had to guess. Plus, they also have to lock down Ja'Marr Chase, who had an unbelievable season being a Triple Crown receiver. And he'll be the highest paid wideout in the NFL, in my opinion. So that extension was before Justin Jefferson, 4 years, $140 million. Look for Ja'Marr Chase to break that. And I don't see how he shouldn't. But who would I bring back at the skilled position? I'm most likely only going to bring back probably Khalil Herbert for 1 or 2 years. But by doing this, I am releasing Zach Moss. I don't know what the extent with his neck injury was, but I am cutting him and getting $3.3 million in cap saving. I'm also bringing on back Tanner Hudson as an insurance policy for a good blocking tight end. Their calorie sap or cap, like previous mentioned, they have $46 million in cap space right now. Plus, I believe they should at least cut Zach Moss, freeing up another $3.3 million. So it looks like they'll have about $50 million in cap space. But you got to remember, a lot of that is probably going to be maybe front loaded with Ja'Marr Chase signing a big extension. And they need a lot of help at defense. So bring us to free agency. Their team needs this offseason is defensive line, wide receiver, and corners. Of course, that would be great to bring back T. Higgins, but in this setting, they need to work on their defense. The Bengals look like a Pac-12 team scoring 40 points a game, but their defense is allowing 45, unfortunately. And a big hole that they have to fill also is at safety. Ever since Jesse Bates left the Bengals to go to Atlanta, they have struggled with that position. There's a few decent guys that you could spend money on to ensure that position, but you also have to get Trey Henderson help because he needs to be able to rush that pass rusher as well by himself. Not, you know, it's much like the Myles Garrett situation. You need to free up somebody on the other side of the ball. Plus, I look and I see, you know, at the skilled position, somebody to replace T. Higgins for a much cheaper price. I would say DeMarcus Robinson, Los Angeles Rams. I mean, he has good production. He had 500 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns. He would be a fraction of the price compared to T. Higgins, but I'm also bringing him in because I don't trust Jermaine Burton. There's too many off the field incidents and distractions that I do not feel comfortable with him, you know, with whatever his new one was with his girlfriend on and off, whatever it was. I just don't see that happening. And I don't want, if I'm the Bengals, I don't want that to be part of my team. On to the drafting. They own the number 17th overall. They could go multiple different ways depending on who's there. One of them being safety Malachi Starks from Georgia, which would help replace that safety need that I said earlier. Or edge rusher James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee. It would help Hendrickson, and it gives him hopefully single coverage or single blocked, and he could blow through and also help out. But since this is being a fantasy show, I want to say my favorite part would be Tyler Warren, tight end from Penn State, or Colson Loveland from Michigan. I just love these two tight ends. They're going to be both first rounders in my opinion, but I think they don't do that at all. But I'm going to say they're going to put money on the defense and defensive side of the ball. I would assume that Starks would be the guy they get if he's available. I can see them and predict them actually to draft tight end Orwan Godson, the second from Syracuse. I'm a huge Syracuse fan, so I know a lot about him. But if that happens, I will have a lot of shares of him, depending on if they bring Mike Gesicki back or not. But at Syracuse, he had 73 catches, 934 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Also, in the 40, he's running roughly about 4.5, which is pretty damn fast for a tight end position. I also look for them and have them predicted drafting wide receiver Jaden Higgins, Iowa State. T and Jaden, you know, they share the same name. They're not related, but they also share the same size. 6'4", 215 pounds. Higgins from Iowa State caught 87 passes for just shy of 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2024. He's exactly the big kind of body that the team needs if T. Higgins heads elsewhere. So I just flip-flopped those guys, and, I mean, hopefully it would work out for the Bengals. So the 2025 outlook, Joe Burrow at quarterback, Jake Browning as backup, running back, Chase Brown, Khalif Herbert, wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Jaden Higgins, DeMarcus Robinson, Jermaine Burton, and Andre Lovelace. At tight end, Eric All is still there. It's hard to say how he's going to come back with a torn ACL. Tanner Hudson and Goodson. How did I do on that one, chat? Let me know. I want to know. Moving on, though, Pittsburgh Steelers. They always seem to win under Mike Tomlin, and they made the playoffs again, 10-7. They most likely, you know, they controlled the game pretty much every game. They ranked 11th in time of possession and finished 11th for rushing too, but they were middle of the pack at 16th overall for points scored and 8th worse for points allowed. That's probably why they started losing toward the end of the year. They couldn't move the ball at all, only averaging 319 yards per game, ranking them 23rd as well. Key free agents, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and Kyle Allen. Much like last year, the whole quarterback room got depleted and cleaned out. Is it going to happen this year? It's left to be seen. We'll see what happens. Running back, Najee Harris is an unrestricted free agent, and Jaylen Warren is a restricted free agent, which means they can match the contract and keep him. Both were productive in one way or another. Harris had a few game stretches where he produced 100 yards. Unfortunately, he did not continue that trend. Jaylen Warren is a much better fit and had much better production on the ground than Harris. I just like him coming out of the backfield. Wide receivers, Van Jefferson, Mike Williams, and Ben was his name. I couldn't remember the guy from the Rams a couple years ago. All these wide receivers did not really contribute at all for the – go on, Skronjic or whatever. Sorry if I'm pronouncing a lot of these names wrong. I'm not good at pronouncing them, but hey, whatever. None of them did anything to help contribute to the Steelers. Tight end Michael Pratt didn't do much since Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, and Connor Hayward are ahead of him. Who am I bringing back? The biggest question is at quarterback, if any of these guys, who do I bring back? For me, if I had to pick one, I would, of the two, you know, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, I'm going to say Russell Wilson. I think somebody else gives Field a shot at being a starting quarterback, and that team is not going to be the Steelers. So I'm bringing back Wilson unless somehow Aaron Rodgers wants to come play. Then I will bring him in at a much cheaper price tag since I think he's still getting paid by the Jets. So it'll be kind of like what Wilson was this year. Veteran minimum, but still getting paid. I know Rodgers and Mike Tomlin have mutual respect for one another, and there's talks about them before. But for this, for now, I'm going to say Russell Wilson. I also re-signed Jalen Warren to a contract too. He's a great pass catcher coming out of the backfield and is not going to cost you a lot, unlike I think Najee Harris will in the open market. And Warren, to me, was more productive. I let Harris walk along with Jefferson, Williams, Skronik, and Pratnu or whatever. Salary cap situation, based on over the cap, they are roughly $40 million in open space. A big portion of that, though, is going to be ate up by the quarterback situation. They're not going to be able to get two guys and have a, you know, only $3 million. $3 million, you know, salary cap for those quarterbacks. And also, I'm releasing Preston Smith. They traded last year for him, a late-round pick to the Packers. I'm freeing up $13.3 million by releasing him, so giving the Steelers a $54 million to work with. What are they going to do with that, free agents? The big thing, you got to look at team needs. Defensive line, wide receivers, corner, quarterback, running back, offensive line. I mean, pretty much every position you could look, except for maybe tight ends, they're pretty set at that. Edge rushers, I'm guessing they're pretty set on that with TJ Watt and Hightower on the other side. Like I said, though, I'm bringing back Russell Wilson and Jalen Warren, but I also think they could go for guys like Chris Godwin. He would be a great option. He does everything right, plays every level of the ball at wide receiver position. Mike Tomlin loves that, but I don't go with him. He's not going to be a Steeler next year. I think he's going to be actually back as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, so I don't predict that. Honestly, I think they spend their money on the defensive side of the ball and focus on building that team and being a dominant team. And also, they're not going to spend big money on a running back, in my opinion. I would not be bringing back Harris. He just wasn't effective enough for me. Leading up to the draft, Steelers have the 21st pick. And with that, since they don't get Chris Godwin, I love wide receiver Emeka Ebuka from Ohio State. Earlier I mentioned a receiver that could do it all. Pass block, run block, whatever else he needs to do, take your groceries in for you. Mike Tomlin would love that, but Ebuka is that guy, way cheaper too than Chris Godwin would cost. Ebuka stayed another year in college, and we'll find out tonight if he's stayed in college to win a championship. Ohio State versus Notre Dame tonight. Watch it. Get to know these players too. But he could block, he could play everything. So pairing him and George Pickens would be a great start. And then there's two quarterbacks I see them taking just because I don't think Russell Wilson's their long-term play. I think it's just kind of like a more of another Band-Aid for a year or two. But I think two quarterbacks, I could see them. Texas, Quinn Ewers, he declared. I see him being a second rounder. Or they could use that pick on the defense side of the ball. Or draft Ole Miss Jackson Dart in like the fourth round-ish. I have a grade on him. But for now, let's just go with Quinn Ewers. You know, like just have a great mind backing up Russell Wilson. and being there for a year or two, learning under Wilson. Wilson can ride off into the sunset. Let's ride. But anyways, going forward, another skilled position is the running back. Since Warren is already there, they need a big bruiser. And for that one, I really like for the team to draft Bo Scadaboo from Arizona State. I know a lot of people like myself didn't see much of the regular season in college of Bo Scadaboo, but you see the highlights now and you watch the college playoffs like I did. This guy could not get tackled, could not go down. Texas had a huge problem with that. Him being so low and so stout, running over 300-pound off or defensive linemen. Tomlin loves players like this that give them all their all. And Scadaboo does every single play, and I really love that. I feel like he would be a great complimentary back with Jalen Warren. And also, Scadaboo, if Warren is hurt because he's had injury issues, he could catch the ball. He had 500 receiving yards this past year too. So for the Steelers, the 2025 outlook, Russell Wilson and Quinn Ewers at quarterback, Cardale Patterson, Jalen Warren, and Bo Scadaboo. Wide receiver, George Pickens, Roman Wilson, Kelvin Austin, and Emeka Buke. And at tight end, Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, and Connor Hayward. Let me know your thoughts, chat. Let me know. And finally, your division champ, Baltimore Ravens. They just fell short of the AFC Championship game last night against the Buffalo Bills. They got the number 3 seed with a record of 12-5. The Ravens ranked top 5 or better in all these categories: points scored, yards per game, passing yards per game, rushing yards per game, time of possession, third down efficiency, and sacks. They were dominant. They're just a dominant team all season, but ultimately, unfortunately, they fell short and did not even make the AFC Championship. Quarterbacks, key free agents, the quarterback position, Josh Johnson. Good news for the Ravens fans. He did not see the field besides just if they're up by a whole bunch, and that's what you want to hear and see. At running back, they have no one. Everyone's still under contract. Wide receiver, Nelson Aguilar, Steven Simmons, Deontay Hardy, and Tylan Wallace. And at tight end, there is no one as well. Who am I bringing back at the skilled position of all these? The main core is already all under contract, but I'm bringing back Josh Johnson just to have a backup plan. If they have to have Tyler Huntley, even though he was a Pro Bowl quarterback, unfortunately, I don't know how, why, but they will kiss that season goodbye if something ever did happen to Lamar Jackson, knock on wood. But unless they could get like a player like Trey Lance for cheap, and Lance can learn from Lamar Jackson and have that great organization aspect, that'd be the only way I would not sign Josh Johnson. I'd also bring back Nelson Aguilar and Tylan Wallace. Aguilar knows the system well and can help contribute. Wallace had a big game, but he is also kind of reliable in the last couple of weeks just with Zay Flowers out. But also, he is their punt returner, so I'm bringing him back, and I don't believe that would cost him a lot. The rest, nah, don't even bring him back. Their salary cap situation, based on over the cap, they have roughly $17 million in cap space. They most likely will convert some of Lamar Jackson's contract into bonus, freeing up a little bit more, getting them more availability to spend where needed. But much, mentioned earlier, their core positions are still intact. So with free agency, the Ravens need offensive line tackle, corner, guard, and wide receiver, which are all higher priorities on the list. I don't think they spend a whole lot at wide receiver since their salary cap is not so high. They spend more. I feel like defensive line and offensive line. If I had generate a wide receiver I like for them, Nick Westbrook Akine, but I think he stays in Tennessee. So I don't see them spending any money on the skilled position. Or, like I said earlier, if Trey Lance gets a cheap deal and becomes a backup, that'd be the only other place. But I think the game plan is to stick with everyone they already have and sign a couple of those guys that are going to be free agents and draft your skilled positions. But speaking of the draft, much like last year, they didn't really draft any skilled positions besides Des Walker from UNC, Rasheen Ali at running back. I think they also had a quarterback too late in the seventh round. But for this year, I see them not drafting much again or spending money. I think they're going to do the offensive side of the ball as the O-line, the defense side of the ball. They got some holes they could fill with corners, defensive line, and keeping that going. During the draft, though, I do have them penciled in drafting Nick Nash from San Jose State. This guy had a monster year this year in college, finishing with 107 catches, 1,382 yards with 16 touchdowns. I think he led the nation in touchdowns, but I have him penciled in of being there or being drafted by the Ravens. He's a 6'3 possession receiver, and I think he could be great where you don't need him running straight lines like Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman. Bateman is a cardio king for them. But the 2025 outlook, Lamar Jackson, Josh Johnson, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, which had an amazing game yesterday as well, Keaton Mitchell, and Rasheen Ali. At wide receiver, we have Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Des Walker, Nelson Aguilar, Tylan Wallace, and Nate Nash. And at tight end, we have Mark Andrews. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mark Andrews. You might still get cut. I don't know, just because your salary cap. Isaiah Likely is also a huge plus for him. And Charlie Kohler. Let me know, chat. Overall, how do you think my GM skills for the skilled position for AFC North was? Let me know. I just want to know. And that's another episode of Fantasy End Zone. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Let your family members know, other fantasy players know about the podcast. I'd much greatly appreciate it. And I will be doing next week's episode as the AFC East. I'm going to do all the AFC teams and then start with the NFC teams for the next 7-8 weeks. And with that, I am out. I got to get out of here. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.